So welcome, everyone. This is Connections Over Coffee. I'm glad that you're here today. And I just want to mention for those that are listening in what we're about before we get started. We are an international virtual meetup group, and we talk about it's our time to rise. And RISE is an acronym that stands for Reconnect, Impact, Storify, and Elevate. And you're like, oh, what does all that mean? Well, Reconnect is where you reconnect with your values and your beliefs. Impact is where you can make an impact on your community through those values and beliefs. Storify is where you find the right words to actually share what you're all about. And finally, Elevate is where you can help elevate all of those around you in your community. So with that, I want to just share a little bit about what I have going on. And then we're going to let each person share some. And Debbie, you'll get this because when I teach in my Build a Better Business, I always talk about if you want to grow your audience, and this is a great lesson for all of us, to serve an influencer that has the same audience that would also be your audience. And so I was serving a particular organization in Columbus, Ohio. I came alongside the magazine creator of a magazine, and I just called up and said, "Hey, you know, how can I help?" I could see that they had a little bump in the road going on. And I said, "I've noticed this is going on behind the scenes. How can I help?" And he was like, "Oh my gosh, I am so overwhelmed." He said, "If you could just do these couple of things for me," he said, "I would be hugely appreciative." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I'll do it." Next thing you know, I'm a part of the team. He added me as part of the staff. And so now my name and what I do is going to be front and center on everything he publishes because I'm going to be now part of his staff. And I'm just doing a couple of things for him. Now, I am a freelance writer and I've submitted to his magazine every month. And see, again, I said to myself, if I were putting out a magazine, what would be my biggest problem? See, I try to put myself in their shoes. What would be my biggest problem? My biggest problem, my biggest fear would be that I wouldn't have enough articles to publish. And I'd be scrambling at the last minute going, "Hey, can you write something? I need another article. I need another picture. I need," because if you're putting out this magazine every month, every quarter, whatever the schedule is, you have to have so many pages and articles and pictures in order to publish, in order to make it something. You know, you can't just have one little thing and say, "Here's a magazine." It has to be complete. And so I thought, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put together, because I already knew that an article for him is about 250 words. So I thought, I'm going to write an article every time he has a publication coming out, and I'm just going to send it to him early. So that way it's one thing off his list. They're like, there's an article I don't have to chase down. I don't have to try to find somebody to write an article. And so I just started submitting an article every single time. He publishes quarterly. And so I just put it on my calendar, you know, the week before, you know, he needs his deadline. I just would say, "Hey, what's your topic for," you know, because it was seasonal. It was like a spring, summer, fall, winter edition. And I said, "What's your topic for this particular quarter?" And he would say, "Oh, it's all about community service," or "It's all about networking," or "It's all about diversity," whatever his topic was. And then I would just write a general overarching article on that subject. And I would send it to him early. And I already knew that he needed like three pictures to go with the article. And I would just sit, I would just email it to him, you know, my article and my three pictures. And I would say, "Hey, whether you use it or not is immaterial. I just wanted to get this over to you in case you were short an article, you know, or in case you needed to fill in the magazine. Use it however you wish. Parts or pieces of it doesn't matter to me. Use just a paragraph if you just need to fill a spot," because they had to lay out this magazine, which is for an editor, that's the big job, is how are you going to get it all to fit and look nice as a magazine and still appeal to your readers. And so I said, "Use it however you want." And I put that disclaimer right in my email, "Use it however you want, parts, pieces, whatever." He has published my entire article with my pictures every single edition so far. And he has said, "Oh, thank you so much. This is like two pages I didn't have to try and fill because you're ahead of the ball game." And so when I saw that this last edition didn't get out on time, I simply sent him a text and I said, hey, I know you've had a lot going on. You know, what's the deal on this last edition? And he's like, oh, he goes, I need to spotlight some folks. And he said, and I'm the guy that does that tracks down who I want to spotlight. And his topic this quarter is all about diversity. And he said, I just haven't had time. And he said, and I'm getting behind. And I said, well, let me do that for you. And he's like, really? And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to track down three people that you can highlight in three different diverse communities around Columbus. And so last night it took me like 5 minutes and I just Googled diversity in Columbus, Ohio, and all these organizations came up. And so I just went to their websites and I just copied their contact information and the paragraph about what their mission was, you know, as an organization. And put all of that into a Google Doc. I had four of them. And then I shot that back over to him. And I said, here's the four that I'm going to contact. I just want to make sure I'm pushing your magazine in the right direction. And I said, just give me a thumbs up. I know he was on his way to the airport. I said, I know you're on your way to the airport. Just give me a thumbs up if I'm on the right track. And he was like, go for it. You're on the right track. And so now my job on Monday is to just contact these organizations that I've put into my document and ask them if they have someone within their organization, maybe an administrator, maybe a manager, maybe a contributor, just somebody within their organization that they would like to highlight, get some free publicity. We're offering them a free spot in a community magazine to highlight what they do and what they're about. And I've already done my homework, so I already know what they're about. And so now I can speak their language when I contact them on Monday. And I'm sure that I'm going to get conversation along the line of, oh, you need to get Joni. She does all of this behind the scenes and we couldn't do it without her. And we really would like to highlight her. So I'm going to get some traction, I'm sure. And so next week, my job is to just work my research on those four organizations and get a person with 150 word bio and a couple of pictures and send that back over to my guy who is doing the magazine. And so anyway, I thought this is how I can serve him. It's not going to take a lot of my time. I get to learn a lot because I've discovered, you know, we have the second largest Somali population in the United States. We have the second largest in the United States. I didn't know that. I knew we had a population, but I didn't know we were the second largest. So with that said, you know, I now can highlight what they do and what they need in our community. And that's going to be, in his magazine, which is going to go out to all of his audience. Well, on the other side of that coin, you know, you're saying, well, what's in it for you? Well, just as I teach and build a better business, he immediately made me a part of his staff. So, because I needed access to his Trello, which is where he lays out the whole magazine so I can see where the articles go and how many pages are left open still. And so he made me a part of his team. So at this point, I'll be on the inside cover of every single magazine, whether they publish an article from me or not. I'll be there as a contributing editor in the magazine. And all because I volunteered to help out to get this last publication published. So that's how it works. So all of a sudden now he is going to basically give me his audience. So does all of that, Debbie, this will probably make sense to you since you've been following us in Build a Better Business on how well that works.
Yes, I do. And it's interesting when you see the ripple effect where you throw the rock into the pond and mm-hmm. all the ripples come out. Look what just one thing mm-hmm. did for you. And it's amazing, you know, anybody has that ability to do just one thing mm-hmm. to push them forward without it being seen as it's all about me.
Right. Because yeah. early on, I realized that his audience is also my audience. He works with yeah. a lot of entrepreneurs. And so his audience was my audience. And so that's why I thought, how can I serve him? So my first step was to simply make sure that he had an article for me, and I had to give it with no strings attached. I had to give it and say, use it, don't use it, you know, parts of it doesn't matter to me. I just want to make sure you have this, you know, in your back pocket. So when you're putting out your magazine, if you're short a page or if you're short just a paragraph, use whatever part and piece of this, you know, have your editor cut it up however it works for you. And I'm good with that. And I truly was good with that. I wasn't going to go, oh, he cut my article in half. I had to truly give that away.
Yeah.
And if he didn't use it at all, I had to not be like, wow, I was really trying to help and he didn't even use it. So I guess I won't be doing that again, you know? So I had to be careful that my heart was in the right place, that I was giving it to try to help him out. And if he couldn't use it, that's fine. If he wanted to cut it up, that's fine. But what happened is he ended up using it in its entirety each time he used my entire article. And of course, then I got credit at the bottom of, because the way he wanted all of his freelance writers to sign was that they were a freelance writer from, you know, and where they were from. And then I could also put in there, you know, that I'm an author, or I could put in there that I have the bed and breakfast, you know, I could sign my tagline however I wanted to sign it, and I could change it each magazine edition. I could change how I signed my tagline depending on what my article was about. So when we talked about hospitality, I signed it as running the guest house, see,
yeah.
Because the whole magazine was about hospitality. When the whole magazine was about authors, I signed it that I was an author. See, so I could change my face also in the tagline of the article. And so what happened was over time, even though he knew me outside of the magazine, he got to know, like, and trust me with my articles, because he saw that I was always pushing his magazine in the direction he wanted it to go. And I was always trying to come alongside and just help out. And I never asked for anything in return. I didn't want anything in return. You know, for me, being published in a magazine was enough in return. Hey, I'm gonna go on hold for just a moment. I'll be right back.
So what have you been up to, Sarah?
Okay, sorry, I'm back. Yes, go ahead, Sarah, share. Debbie, thank you so much for taking over there. I had a guest calling in from the bed and breakfast. So Jennifer, I handed her my phone. So Jennifer's taking the call. So yeah, share with us.
Okay. I just wanted to say, first of all, I'm proud of you for all of what you've done, you know, Kathy. That was so awesome. I just wanted to say that because I was like, wow, that's really awesome. So anyway.
And again, yeah. It's really such a small thing, but it really, it's really paying off for me. And my intent was definitely to help him.
Yeah. And I think it's like really good to have your name out there and do all that stuff. But yeah, anyway, I'll turn to me, I guess. So I'm a little bit behind in life, to be honest. I do not have a career at my age, and I'm 30. Debbie. I'm 30 and I live with my mom at this age, because she needs a lot of help around the house and stuff. Like, it's a really messy house and stuff. But anyway, that's kind of my situation. Is like, she doesn't really want me to move out, and she wants me to stay there. She doesn't want me to get a job. I don't know when she wants me to get a job, but she doesn't want me to get a job right now, because we have to pay back a lot to the IRS because I worked. And I really want to get this music channel on the road. You know, I want to. But first of all, I have to, you know, publish my novel, and I'm thinking ahead, like, okay, I need to get, like, after this novel, I need to get money for the channel. And not money for the channel, but like, I need to be able to practice beforehand. Mm-hmm. I need to be able to practice, because I've never sung much before in my life. I've never, you know, I've written lyrics and people say I'm pretty good at it. So, yeah, it's like this thing. I'm really like behind in life, but I want to have this done within 10 years. Okay.
Okay.
I want my book to be published and I want to at least start doing my music channel, like have it on the road, like have it officially done and people can see the music videos on YouTube. I want that so bad. But you know, I have a lot of healing to do. Like I'm a huge people pleaser, for instance, and I'm like trying not to be. And I feel like in this channel, it's like I am portraying a person with mental illness, but at the same time, it's like I don't want to be too much, but I don't want to like be like so cautious of everything that I say that it's like not an enjoyable experience. Because the point of this is to have fun. It's not to be the most talented artist ever. It's not to be anything like that. I mean, yeah, of course I'm going to push myself, but I'm not going to, if I'm not having fun, there's no point. That's just that's how I see it. That's how, I don't care if I'm like the most talented person. I don't care if I'm whatever. I just want to have fun, you know? And so I need to get a job as soon as possible because I want a job that makes dumb money. And what I mean by that is a job that is like kind of easy, but like it makes like $20 an hour or something, not like 30 maybe, but like 20 or 15 or something. And I know that there's a job out there like that. There's two jobs that these guys that I knew mentioned. One of them's my friend, another one doesn't talk to me anymore, but he said something about content analyst, or like you do surveys for companies. And I was like, okay, that sounds pretty easy. I don't know much about it, but I was like, okay, maybe doing these two jobs would be good, you know? And if I don't have to go to school for anything that I'm trying to do, like be a tutor, a writing tutor or anything, I won't go to school. Like, no, because it's going to take too much time. And that's my comfort zone. And I want to get out of my comfort zone. I don't want to be in my comfort zone. I want to be out of it. School is easy for me. Like, it's easy to make the good grades and to do stuff. But the real world is where I get scared and where I get like, oh, no, you know, because like, for me, like, I remember this question on a dating site where it said, do you get more nervous in interviews, job interviews, or dates? I was like, job interviews. So, because like dates, at least you can like kind of be more authentic and more yourself. But I feel like jobs, it's more like, I gotta be perfect. I gotta do this. I gotta, you know, that's how I've always thought of jobs. You have to be perfect. You gotta be a machine. You gotta be like able to, you know, do stuff. And yeah, I've tried over these years to do a lot of things. Like I tried to be at the school newspaper. Like I tried to do the school newspaper, but I got nervous and I never asked for help. And they took me off of there because I never asked for help. And I was like so confused about what to do. And I had to do it during the school year when I was doing other things like schoolwork. And I was like, you know, but I tried to at least do it. I tried to at least be on there. And I thought that was effort on my part. And I've tried to do other things like volunteer things. And I don't know, I'm just really lost in a way. I kind of know where I'm headed. Like I want to make a job for now. I want a job with kind of like dumb money, like $15, $20 an hour. That's the minimum maybe. And I need a job that, you know, pays my bills, but I have some stuff on the side. And my mom's getting older and she's like almost 70 now. And she's, you know, she doesn't need to be in a wheelchair or anything, but she's not in good shape and she could like die. I'm not saying she could die at any moment, but I'm just saying like she's getting up in her years and I need to learn how to take care of myself on a bigger level, like through learning how to pay bills and learning how to, you know, do stuff like that. So that's kind of where I'm at. I know that doesn't sound good, but I feel like my story could really help somebody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I think that I got sick in 2016. I got really mentally ill over a guy, and that's why I was on disability. And that's why I'm a little bit behind. It's not because of anything else really, but my mental illness. And it's just, it's hard to deal with it, you know? And I got, like I said, I got really sick, and from 2016 to 2019, like off and on, but there's like long periods where I was sick, and then there's long periods where I wasn't sick. So yeah, it was just really bad, but I'm really just thankful to be alive. I'm thankful to just be here. And even if, you know, I did a lot of mistakes or made a lot of mistakes back then, that I'm ashamed of, but you know, I just want to be the best person I can be. And that's it, you know, like there's so much I could say, but you know, that's just the gist of it. You know, I'm a little bit behind in life, but I think I'm 30 years old. I'm not like 40, you know.
Hey, I didn't really get my stuff together till I was 40. So you're ahead of me. Now, I do have a couple of suggestions for you, a couple of resources. Number one, go ahead and start that YouTube channel and just make it unlisted or make it private. You can still go ahead and start. And if you've ever played around on YouTube, you know that you can add and delete stuff at any time. So you can put something out there. You can watch it yourself. You can say, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to delete it. And nobody else has to see it. But you can kind of get your sea legs, so to speak. You can start putting stuff on YouTube. You can start seeing how it works. You can start, you know, going through and then if you feel like you want to put it out there just a little bit, you can make it unlisted, and then only people that you give the link to can see it. That way, if you've got some folks in your corner that is really supportive of you, you can say, hey, take a look at this and tell me what you think. And at any time, you can change the unlisted over to public. If you say, you know what, I'm happy with that, I'm going to make that one public. So you only need one YouTube channel, and you have the option to make it private, unlisted, or public. If it's private, only you can see it. If it's unlisted, only people that have the link can see it. And if it's public, then everyone can see it. But you can play around with it now.
Yeah.
But you can start practicing with it now.
I do need to focus on that book, though. I can't focus on too many things at once. It's just like, I do want to do that. Like, I think that's a really great idea. I'm just saying, like, for me, I do need to focus on being the best writer I can be for this novel. But I do need to focus on being the best writer in general, not the best writer, but just the best writer that I can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I have another group, and it's the Ohio Writers Guild, and you can find us on meetup.com, and it's called the Ohio Writers Guild. And we do have a mastermind now where we are going through on how to get published. And okay. So we're talking about writing and publishing and all of that. And our last, Debbie was on our last call. It was all about how to design your book cover. And so we had a whole session on how to design your book cover. So anyhow, so there is some tools out there. So search around on Meetup, search around on Facebook, get into some writers groups. I personally, and this might be a huge help to you, I am on a group called, and Debbie, this might be helpful for you too. It's called the Cincinnati Fiction Writers. They're on Zoom once a month, and they actually critique somebody in the audience. Now, don't worry, they're not going to just pick you at random. You have to submit. So let's say, for me, I just want to learn, you know, on what makes good writing. And so I just listen in when they do the critiques. And so let's say Joe has sent in his manuscript, and somebody on the call in their leadership team will read the manuscript. And then all of the senior writers that have been writing for a while, they critique it. And they go, okay, now, Joe, this is what you could say better. And you could start with this sentence instead of that one. And here you told us what was going on instead of showing us. And so change. And all of a sudden I'm like, ah, okay, this makes me a better writer because I hear how they're critiquing these other authors. And so anyway, it's called the Cincinnati Fiction Writers. join the group. They're on meetup.com. It's called Cincinnati Fiction Writers on Meetup, and just join. And they do one Zoom call, and then they do an in-person meetup. And I never go to the in-person because even Cincinnati is too far for me to drive on a Monday night. But it's usually on a Monday night, and I just tune in and listen. I never say anything. I just listen. I've learned so much just in 4 months of listening. So check that out.
Okay. Yes, Debbie.
Cincinnati. You said it 3 times, and it still escaped me. Cincinnati what?
Fiction Writers.
Fiction writers.
Yeah. Cincinnati Fiction Writers. And they just talk about how to make your writing better. And I have learned so much from just listening in. And then, of course, my co-host in the Ohio Writers Guild is Sandy Kachurik. And Sandy is sponsoring a writer's workshop in Yellow Springs the first weekend in August. And so I'm going to be attending that. And she's going to have some publishers there that's going to critique some writing to make it better. So there's some stuff out there where you can kind of educate yourself and hone your skills a little bit. Now, as far as a job, Sarah, my suggestion would be to check out Upworks and Fiverr. Upwork and Fiverr are both on-site. Online sites, and you can go in there and see what folks are offering to do for people and for what amount, and then see what can you offer to do and get paid that 15 to 20. And that way you're self-employed and you have total control over your schedule.
I've tried to do something like that, but I feel like I got banned on Fiverr. I don't know. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know if I have the expertise or something. Don't I have to have some kind of,
well, you have to offer, you have to have something that you're offering. So you have to, either you're a writer or you're a virtual assistant or something. You have to have something that you're offering.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
So research what folks are offering and see, like, well, I could do that. You know, for me, and maybe this will be helpful. For me, I almost have to see it in action first. And then I can say, oh, I can do that. I know how to do that. But I kind of have to see somebody else doing it. Somebody just telling me, I'm like, I don't get it. But if you show me and I see somebody else doing it, it's like, oh, I can do that. And so maybe search and see what other folks are doing, what they're giving in that, those sites. And then, you know, you can read through what they say they're giving and you can go, yeah, I can give all that. I know how to do that. And then you could present yourself similarly. So just a thought. Because it keeps you self-employed where you have total control over how many hours, you have total control over how much money you want to make. So if you start to get to that line that you don't want to cross, you can say, okay, I'm not going to take any more jobs this month because I don't want to make any more money this month. I've made my quota, and it gives you total control over your income that way.
I still feel like I don't even know what I'm good at, but I'd have to look at it, I guess. I'm not even sure, like, I have any, like, skills like that.
Yeah, you'd have to just scroll through and read a bunch. Just read what other folks are doing. And you know, sometimes it's just proofreading. You know, see what people are searching for. Because it's a site where folks put on what they can give, and then it's also what folks are looking for. So maybe even go through all of the list of what folks are looking for. Because they might be looking for somebody to proofread something for them, or somebody to, you know, do a newsletter once a month for them, or whatever. And then, you know, experiment a little bit about, well, what does that look like? And could I do that? Could I take care of what this person needs?
I'm scared I wouldn't be able to do it, but yeah.
Well, in the worst case is that they wouldn't pick you, but at least you know, it might get you started on creating something for yourself there.
True. Yeah. I guess I'd have to get Upwork a try again.
Yeah. So take a look at it and see if it might be helpful for you. So, but Sarah, thank you so much for sharing that. That's wonderful that you shared, and I look forward to reading your book and seeing you on YouTube down the road. So yes, thank you so much for sharing, and good vibes going out to you and your mom. So
thank you. I'm excited about the book that you're coming out with. What was that book that you were talking about last time? You were talking about a book. It was Darn, I can't remember the name.
Well, I published, yeah, thank you, Debbie. I published back in September called To Speak, Lead, and Impact. And that book is on Amazon now. And I'm just now, as a matter of fact, I've got it right here on my little yellow tablet. I just took notes. I'm just now, I've been offered to be a co-author in another collaborative project called Impact Driven Entrepreneur. And I'm debating whether I'm going to jump into this one or not. I'm thinking I might, and that would put two bestsellers under my belt on Amazon. But I want to write a novel. Both of these are nonfiction, and I want to write a fiction novel, and I have no clue how to do that. So that's why I'm listening in on the Cincinnati fiction writers, trying to learn, trying to teach myself how to write a fiction book. So
yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So I'm trying to educate myself. So there you have it.
Let's see what's happening with Debbie.
Yes, Debbie, share. And welcome, Estella. We're glad you're with us, Estella. I saw you sneak in there while Sarah was sharing. Thank you for being with us. Yep, you're on mute.
Yes, I had a few minutes between Zooms, and one of mine canceled this morning. So I said, I'm going to hop on here.
Okay.
And, because I miss you guys.
No, I miss you too.
And I'm like, I need some Kathy and Debbie.
Yeah.
But I can't stay on long, but I wanted to just, you know, hop in.
Okay.
Now, good. So this one is, which one is this meetup?
Okay, you are on Connections Over Coffee, where we just simply share. We have no real agenda other than to just build relationships. And so we're so happy to have all of us on today. And Estella is my co-host, co-mod, but sometimes she can't jump on because she has a property in Washington, D.C., and sometimes she's driving. And so it's hard for her to jump on. So sometimes she's headed to her Airbnb in Washington from Ohio. So she's on the road a while. So I think that's where she's headed today. So anyway, back to you, Debbie. Share with us on what you have going on and how everything that you're doing all kind of fits together. And you're on mute. There you go.
I thought you were still talking to Estella.
No, we're getting you to share.
Well, let's see. I just got back on Tuesday night from Charlotte. Had a great time. I watched my two granddaughters graduate from college.
They wow. Have their associates. Debbie, you're not old enough to have granddaughters graduating from college.
And here's the thing. One is 19 and one is 16.
Oh, my.
Yes. Well, they were homeschooled they finished elementary and high school. And then they incorporated college, but all homeschool. And then what's interesting is they're already registered for their next step, getting their bachelor's degree starting in August. So that's pretty cool. And they were so over being just mamaw visiting it. They were really thrilled that they that I was there to help celebrate. In fact, my one granddaughter, not knowing, I don't know if you can see this, but
you got to put it right in front of your face. There you go.
That's okay. She crocheted this stem of flowers for one for me and one for Lori for Mother's Day.
Aww.
And it was like, I was like, what? So I told her it was going to be right on my desk every day so that I can look at it. And it is. But anyways, let's see, what else am I doing? Oh, I got to experience my first hippie fest on Sunday for Mother's Day. That was a riot. I mean, and come to find out, it's the same one that comes to Logan every year. And it was quite revealing and eye-opening to a reminder of what that era was like. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Holy moly. But, you know, my daughter had a lot of work to do because actually tomorrow they get on a ship for a cruise down to Jamaica, Haiti, and someplace else.
Very nice.
But it gave me a chance to work on my things. I mean, I was able to work on my book. I was able to put blogs together, even though I haven't posted them yet. But what I realized is that there are many times when I'm listening to something, like this morning, and I'll get an idea for my blog post. So I've started a pad of paper here to instead of being in a folder where I forget, they're on here and they're on my desk. There you go. And Sarah, this might be something for you to do. Just have a piece of paper around you and just write down an idea. I mean, don't try to keep it up here. Write it down and just keep it near you. It probably would be easier to write it than to speak it into a recording or something, but I like writing. So I am encouraged every day to I'm the only one that can make this dream happen. Mm-hmm. And by doing what I need to do, then I will feel a sense of accomplishment. And writing my book, Sarah, it's my memoir. And the thing is, I'm telling it like it is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. And you just have to be true to yourself, and write what you feel. Write what you feel. It doesn't matter what somebody else says. It's you. You had the mental health. I had the child abuse. So that's I learned a very important message from Kathy here a couple weeks ago. And excuse me, that I say that I want to leave a legacy for my grandchildren. I got 9 of them. But my legacy is about, I want my grandchildren to see what I went through as a child, because they're the ones that I want to make an impact and let them know that even though I went through all this, I conquered it and made something of myself. Even though they haven't gone through anything like I did, it's still important. That's my legacy, is to give them a basis of what I went through and know that, wow, if my grandma did that, I can do it too. And I mean, I got 9 grandchildren. Someone it's got a hit, you know? And it's very, very thought-provoking, but eye-opening when it's not about me, it's about them. And it's about, you know, helping women that have gone through the same thing. So don't be afraid to start the book. Just start it. And Kathy is very good at saying that. Mm-hmm. Just
simply start.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Debbie, you talked about the ripple effect. And so I see when your book finally publishes, not only the ripples are going to go a lot further than you ever even imagined. So First of all, the ripples are going to affect your immediate family. They're going to go, oh my gosh, look how she overcame. But then it's going to help all those other ladies that need that message of hope that they too can overcome. Yeah. And then it's going to go out and actually help you in a boomerang effect. It's going to come back and bring you some income from sales. And so all of a sudden that ripple effect just goes out across the world more than you could ever even imagine by just sitting there and writing your memoir to begin with. So what I have to say to Debbie and Sarah is write as if no one is going to read it.
Yes.
Write as if no one is going to read it. Because if you try to edit it in your head when you're writing it, like, well, I better not say that because Uncle Joe might be offended, or I better not say that because, you know, Aunt Susie might say that didn't happen. And then you start to switch up what you're writing. So you have to write it as if no one is going to read it. Mm-hmm. And then you can go back. And if you feel like I like to say, let it get cold, meaning walk away from it. And then when you come back and read it with a fresh eye, you can say, okay, maybe I need to soften that up a bit, or maybe I need to change this name, or maybe I need to, and then you can kind of do the editing. But the first writing has to be as if no one is going to read it. That's mm-hmm. the only way to get the true grit out on paper.
Mm-hmm. And my story starts with a daydream that I had. And I mean, I remember it explicitly. So that I'm using that daydream as the start of mm-hmm. my book. And since I've started developing a storyline in that, believe it or not, because my daydream came to a halt at one spot in the daydream. But since I've done this, I have been able to basically figure out what the rest of the daydream is and how it ends. So in the beginning, my introduction or whatever is going to be that daydream, and it's going to stop, dot, dot, dot. And then what I've done now is I've completed the rest of the story, rest of the dream. And it will be partly on my back cover, but it'll be on the last page of my story. So I just encourage you to just start writing and listening in on the Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Just listen and, you know, join us on the
writer's workshop. Yeah.
Yeah. The mm-hmm. writer's workshop. Join us on there. Because just this past week, I've been able to, when we were talking about doing the cover, I had a base idea, but then when we were discussing it, or we were talking in the group, I suddenly came up with the idea, and it all came from Kathy giving examples of certain books. And it was like, that's my cover. It's just now going to streamline it to fit. But at one point here several years ago, I went back to my childhood home. It's still standing. And I took a picture of my bedroom window. And I'm going to use that as part of the cover, because I was standing, I'll be the shadow on the ground looking up at the child. And so what I'm saying is your mind will explode if you start experiencing these classes that Kathy has to offer, her suggestions. Just go and listen, because honestly, I would be nowhere near this if it wasn't for these masterminds and keeping my ears open. And you will do the same. And I'm sorry, I kind of kind of
no, I
got
love
off
it.
Here a little
no,
bit.
No, I love it that you're sharing. This is wonderful.
Debbie, it's, I'm so proud of you.
What? Give you a hug. I'm sorry, what?
I said, Debbie, I'm so proud of you. And if we were in person right now, I'd give you a hug, a big hug. Just, you're just such an amazing woman, amazing person.
Thank you. I learned a very important thing here just recently. And it was the person said, take your left hand, put it on your right shoulder. Take your right hand and put it on this other shoulder. That's me giving you a hug. And trust me, it hits. Mm-hmm. but anyways, see, that's what I like to do. I'm a person that just
no, that's great. That's I love it. I love it because that's what this call is all about, is just building relationships. That's why we always start with no real agenda. And Debbie, you know, the conversation goes a different direction every time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I've been through childhood trauma too, like when I was younger. So I understand in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you located?
The Woodlands, Texas. Actually, I hate to say it, but the home that I'm in now is the one that I was abused in. So.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's.
Okay. Now take the symbolic message of that and turn it around.
Yes.
Use it to your advantage.
Yes.
Right? Can I say something?
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Just to help Sarah, I know Debbie, I don't know your story, Debbie, but you can overcome.
Yes.
Joyce Myers, have you ever heard of her, Sarah?
I swear I have, but I can't think right now.
Oh, God. Just, you probably can go to YouTube or go to the library and get her book, From Beauty to Ashes. She was sexually abused by her father from the age of 3 to the age of 18. Raped by her father.
Oh my God.
And this lady, through the help of God, has taken her life, and now her story has helped millions of women around the world. Sexual abuse is unfortunately not an uncommon situation.
And oftentimes covered up.
Especially back in our day. Mm-hmm. But because of the shame, her mother knew her father was raping her, but she couldn't bear the shame. And then she was also fearful of, what was she going to do? But I'm just saying that, you know, feed yourself some information that shows you how people got over, how they got out of. You don't have to be trapped in that. That's what happened to you. Then today is a new day and you get to start doing something totally different. But if you hang on to the past, you can't move forward.
Yeah. And
you just can't. And I mean, and it's a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The emotions are there, but you can, you can set them aside. What they say, forgive, but you never forget, but you don't have to dwell in that land.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
You know, again, find Joyce Meyer. She is a prolific writer. A prolific a person to help people overcome the things that they've experienced in their life. That one book, write that book down, Beauty, From Beauty to From Ashes to Beauty.
Ashes to Beauty, okay.
And her name is Joyce Meyer. Yeah, write that down. And it, because you right now you need something else. Our mind is like a field, and whatever we plant in it, it's going to grow. And you need to plant some new seeds So yes. You'll want to plant some more new seeds so that you can grow another harvest for your life. You're a very young lady. You have, God has so much for you to do in life, but right now you're stuck and you don't know how to get out. And you can't get out until you find something new to help you get out. You know, we can only be what we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think she's a pastor, right?
Pastor. She's on TV. She's everywhere, but she's a very dynamic lady. And her story, I don't know your story. And it doesn't matter, even if you weren't sexually abused, sometimes people are just abused, you know, physically, mentally. Just like mean people. I've experienced, you know, just mean people, you know, where they control you and different things like that. And it, you know, so, anyway, just do that. I could go there, but I'm not going to go there today.
I think I do have an Amazon gift card. I think, and I could buy that book with it. And I have this book that I'm reading now that I think is really important. Mm-hmm. It's called Forgiveness. I'm reading that first, and I'm trying to read this novel, and then I will go to something else. But
yeah, get the book with Joyce Meyer, From Beauty to Ashes. Ashes to Beauty. You will not regret it. It will put a whole new light of how to look at life and what life can be, because life can be great.
It is. I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a light?
I'm a photographer too. I don't know if y'all knew that, but I am a photographer too. I do take pictures, and they're really good pictures too, given this phone that I'm on. But yeah, I do take pictures too, and that's what I put on Instagram, and a lot of people like it. I have like 72 followers now.
Okay,
good start.
That's a great start. I love it.
Everybody starts small.
Yeah. So Estella, I want to give you a chance to share. What do you have going on in your world?
Right now I am getting myself organized so that I can move forward. I'm making some progress, good progress in my business and helping small businesses. And I'm also, shall I say, I think the key thing for me has been the disorganization of getting, you know, not getting this right or that right. Everything is everywhere. And I've just made a very concerted effort to hunker down for the next probably 2-3 months and do the things that you have taught me. Do the things to get like a CRM so that I'm not just, so that I can move forward. So I don't have to be afraid of if I talk to this person and then I don't get back to them. And it's so debilitating to, you know, be able to move forward confidently. I need to be more confident in what I'm doing. And it's not that I'm very good. I know my product exceedingly well, but it's that follow-up piece and, you know, just things like that. So that's what my primary focus is. I said, sometimes I feel guilty when I get on your trainings, and please don't think that just because I haven't moved forward with, the many gifts that you've imparted into me. I really do appreciate them, but I just got to get to the point to where I can utilize them. And you're going to look up because you, hey, when I walk across the stage, Kathy Benner's name will be on my lips.
And yes. I will be in the front row.
Okay. Okay.
So I encourage you to just pick one thing and focus on just one thing. That's what happens. I don't know about you, but I look at my desk and I go, oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do that. And then I don't do any of it. So you have to just, and what I've discovered, what's been working for me, I know Debbie's like, yeah, you're preaching to the choir. And what works for me is my desk is where everything kind of lands. If you're like me, everything just kind of, you know, adds up right there. And so what I'm discovering that has been hugely successful for me is I will pick up one post-it note or one file, just one thing, one project, mm-hmm. take it away from my desk. I take it into the dining room on the dining room table, and there's nothing on the dining room table except that one project. And then I tell myself, I'm not going to get up until this project is done.
Well, that you just really that could work, because what I did was I had just gotten, you know, like I'm not a, you know, like a dirty person or anything like that. And what I mean is, you know how when you have a house, it can.
Oh, yeah.
There is mess. There is clean. There is messy. There is jacked up, and then there's filthy. I'm in the messed up. I was. Uh-huh. So God gifted me, and I'm going to have to hop off of here in a minute. He gifted me. My niece was in between jobs, and she needed money. And I said, you need money, and I need help.
There you go.
So I had her help me get some things in order in terms of just, you know, I haven't done spring cleaning in 100 years. Well, I shouldn't say that.
I get it.
Anyway, yeah. So anyway, I got some things, and one of them was my office. And she did such a nice job. I won't go up there. It's like, I don't want to mess this up. But I'm going to go up there because you just set the captive free. Because I'm down here in my kitchen dining room area. And, you know, most time I try to keep this area cleaned up since we got in order, but I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to take maybe two things and go up in my nice, beautiful, serene office and work on those, and then come back downstairs and do something. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to change your environment. Now, Debbie and I, we had a conversation a while back that sometimes when we're at home, we get so many interruptions because people just know we're at home, you know, and when you're at home, you're obviously not working because you're at home. And so Debbie and I had a conversation one time where sometimes you can just pack up a couple of big projects that you just haven't managed to get to, and you don't start because you know they're going to take some time. And you're thinking, I don't have enough time, so I'm not even going to start that because I don't have enough time to finish it. So pack up a couple of things, go to a coffee shop. Don't tell your family, just say, I have an appointment. Put it in your briefcase, go to a coffee shop, get yourself your favorite coffee, find a corner table and get out your laptop and just do that project for a couple of hours. You'll be amazed at how much you get done when you're not having to answer to the family or the dishes aren't calling you, the laundry's not calling you
right now.
You know, your favorite TV show's not calling you. It's almost, you know, you're at work. You can say, I'm at work. Now, that's why these co-working spaces.
Co-hatch.
Yeah. And so it's all these co-working. They're all over Columbus, a ton of co-working spaces. But what happens is once you start going to these co-working spaces and you start to become friends, you're always going to have somebody down the conference table from you.
And
you're
just like the office.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be just like the office. And you're like, I'm still not getting anything done. So for me, I like to go to a coffee shop where I don't know anybody. Nobody's going to talk to me. We all see those people. You go in there and you see the guy in the corner with the laptop, and you can tell he's working. Well, you don't go over and interrupt him because you can tell he's working.
He'll look up at you like.
So he's still, as a person, you still feel like you're in a co-working environment, but you don't have to really communicate with anyone else, and you can crank out a project like that. And so you're around people, but yet you're not. And yeah, Debbie said, put your earbuds in. Yeah. So the point is that there's ways that you can get around not being productive. You just have to know you well enough to know what works for you. And I've discovered what works for me here is if I just pick up a folder off my desk and go into the dining room and just do that one project, whatever that is.
You know, that can be a game changer. challenge. The only challenge I'd have is I have to take my computer with me, and I need to, anyway, that you can do anything. We can do all things, right, Debbie? Through Christ who strengthens us. And this, he just strengthened me today just to say, okay, you got something to work on. Even if now, I take the computer and take it upstairs, whatever, you know.
Yeah, but if you're, where do you normally work on your computer?
Here, the last probably 6 months in my kitchen area.
Okay, then I encourage you to carry everything, all your projects up to the office and just bring down the one you're working on. Don't have your mail and all your projects all around you in the kitchen area, because then you're thinking, oh, I need to open that mail. Oh, I need to sort that mail. Then you open up the mail and you go, oh, I need to call this guy to see what this is about. Next thing you know, your project didn't get done. So take everything up to your office, even if you have, you know, letter bins or someplace to kind of sort it, but take everything up there and then just bring down one project where your computer is. Just say, I'm just gonna look at the clock and say, I'm gonna give myself, let's see, it's 11 o'clock now. Now I know you've got someplace else you have to be today, but let's say, for example, you look and you go, okay, it's 11 o'clock. I'm gonna work on this until noon. I am not gonna get up from this computer until noon. I'm gonna just work on this one project and see how far I get. You'll be shocked at how much you get done.
Okay. Well, ladies, I am going to hop off here.
Yes,
I
just, we need to go. But
I just wanted to hop in and say hello, and you know.
Well, thank you. I love that you're here.
Yes.
Yeah. That like I said, I had that meeting canceled, and I was like, I always keep this on my calendar so that if I can, I do. And so I was like, oh, I can hop on here. So anyway,
good. I'm glad you did.
Ladies, have a wonderful weekend. And
yes.
Debbie, I'm so proud of you doing your book. Oh my goodness, girl. I love it. I love it. And you know what, people, you don't even know who will get this story. Because it goes beyond the family, but I totally appreciate what you're saying in terms of helping your children know their great grandmother. I would love to have known mine, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Isn't that going to be a wonderful legacy? I would have loved to have known mine.
Yeah.
All right, ladies. Well, I will talk to you in a week or two.
All right.
Get back on next week. All right.
Okay. Well, you've got all the dates. Go to my calendar if you want to check. It's at kathybinner.com. Scroll down the homepage to the calendar. It's got all the events there with all the links. Mm-hmm. Debbie, I put in the chat. If you go, you can actually just go right to... I'm trying to think if the magazine is on my website or not. I don't think it's on the website. I think it's only on my Linktree. I'll send you my Linktree, and the magazine button is right there.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
There we go. Yeah, that Linktree. I'll add that up there. It's just a million things to do. But anyway, okay, ladies. Talk to you
one
soon.
One at a time. One at a time, Estella. Yeah.
See you later,
number
guys.
Number one for me right now is the CRM. All right. Talk
there
to you ladies later. God bless
Bye.
You.
Bye, everyone.